Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I'm Rachel True.
And I'm Trent Venegas.
And you're listening to Quoting Gene Roddenberry,
the 100-day podcast that celebrates what would have been the 100th birthday of the man that created Star Trek.
Each day between now and the end of our podcast,
August 19th,
one of Star Trek's biggest icons,
or celebrity fans,
or both, we'll be quoting Gene Roddenberry.
Then we're going to take a deep dive into why we think this sci-fi legend still has a lot to say to the world.
Today's quote is read by Star Trek Voyager alumni, Raphael Sparge.
I'm in a period of growth and expansion, taking a long, hard look at the world and what's happening in it, analyzing and thinking. I'm trying to become acquainted with the universe, with the part of it that I occupy, and trying to settle for myself what my relationship to it is.
What a great reading by Raphael. He just read that so wonderfully. And it is our pleasure to welcome our guest host this week, singer-songwriter, artist advocate, William Matthews. William, welcome to Quoting Gene Roddenberry.
Hey, thank you for having me, Rachel and Trent. I'm so excited to be here.
Yay!
Yeah, so let's go ahead and throw this to you. What are your first thoughts when you first heard this quote?
My first thoughts were how much I resonate with what Gene is talking about here, because as an artist, I'm very self-reflective. And I think any of us that are doing anything related to art, we're always asking that question, the bigger why, the bigger what is out there? What is my place in it? You know, sometimes it feels like as artists, we can be a little, have dreams of grandeur, right? Or we think we outsize our role in the cosmos. But what I love what Gene is doing here, he's doing something really appropriate. He has the right amount of confidence in terms of how he's able to present himself in the cosmos. Like, I'm here, I'm small, but I'm a part of it. I matter in this. And I'm trying to figure out which space I occupy in this grand thing. So as an artist, a writer, I'm always asking these big questions of, does my voice matter? Does what I have to say resonate with anyone else? And what is my relationship to everything? And it sounds like Gene was doing the same thing with Star Trek.
I love this quote, William and Trent, for a lot of the things you just said, William, because I'm sort of reminded, I don't know the date from when this quote was said by Gene, but it kind of reminds me of the just basking in the afterburn of success, right?
Yeah.
Mr. Roddenberry had the TV show, fought to get it on, right? Gets it on. And then most of us, and I'm gonna, because I'm an actor, writer, whatever, and most of us in the arts, a lot of times buy into our own hype, right?
Yep.
We get this big thing and we sort of think we're the center of the universe, that we are the sun. And this quote I love so much because it implies that Gene Roddenberry knows he's not the center of the universe. He is trying to figure out his part in it. And again, I think that how we respond to success, how we respond as we climb up the ladder is individual, but it's super important because I found the more I climbed up, the more I didn't know, you know, as opposed to I know everything. But we all know in Hollywood that a lot of people are the opposite of this quote, right, Trent?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. You know, and I love how honestly self-reflective Gene is being in this quote. We tend, and I especially tend to think of Gene Roddenberry as such a giant, as such a big voice. And, you know, he is the creator of one of the most enduring sci-fi franchises of all time. Mm-hmm. And here we are 55 years later, still talking about and relishing in his words, his work, everything that he left us with. And, you know, so many of our quotes, you know, I get the sense that they come from a Gene Roddenberry that he was fully formed when he makes a lot of his declarations about his love affair with humanity and you know, the role that science fiction plays in entertainment and in education in some regards. And this quote gives us a taste of what it was like for him to come to those conclusions. Like, he's being very self-reflective. You know, I am in a period of growth and expansion. So he's burying that part of him in this quote. It might be like a speech that he gave. He gave a lot of commencement speeches and he spoke at a lot of conventions. And it seems like, you know, whether he was writing to another group of artists or just a group of fans, that he was trying to relay that just like everyone else trying to figure out their place in the universe. And that sound, it can sound a little cliched, but we all tend to go through this self-reflection at some point, whether we have success or not, whether it's just any given Monday and you're, you know, not really wanting to face the week ahead, like what is my place in the universe? And I love that Gene is sharing this part of self-reflection.
That's what I love about what you just said and this quote, what you pointed out was he's not saying you all need to, which is, you know, a lot of us get on our soapboxes, right? Or I've become enlightened, so you're not, you're nothing because you're not as an enlightened. None of that in here and none of that in the, any of the quotes we've read. And I feel like this quote, right, probably 40 years old or whatever, is so applicable to right now because look at us for America. Let's say the I is America. America is in a period of growth and expansion. America is taking a long, hard look at the world and what's happening to it, analyzing and thinking. America is trying to become acquainted with the universe and with what part America occupies and trying to settle it for America's sake, right? Like, that's kind of how I feel because we are in such a... Listen, William, you can't see William, but he's brown as well. So
yes,
I'm pretty sure... Wait, I have another question for William. William, do you like jars of clay?
You know, I spent many years doing Christian music. So
I actually really like jars of clay, actually.
They were some of the coolest in Christian music. I'll give you.
Yeah, here's the deal. And I'm segueing to that because I knew his background, right, in Christian rock. And I've always been kind of fascinated by it because I love rock. The only musical I like, I don't care, Hamilton. The only musical I like is Jesus Christ Superstar. Because it is the ultimate hippie musical. And it all makes sense.
Well,
It is the granddaddy of Christian rock. Right?
It is. Well, I think you bring up something, both of you, something really interesting. Gene sounds like a mystic here. He sounds like a Christian mystic.
And, ooh, a Christian mystic.
Yeah,
think
of like the Jesuits and the early church fathers and mothers. He sounds to me, you know, like a modern day mystic would be a Franciscan monk named Richard Rohr. Like, he's somebody who is becoming so self-reflective in a way of reaching out to the greater cosmos. Like, it's like you're an internal cosmos, and the mystics always, you know, taught that the inner life was so rich and full, and you know, that's why they took vows of silence, and they did like monastic orders and you know, disciplines of prayer and fasting and seclusion, you know, and also like vows of poverty to the poor, because they realized there was an inner world in which God could inhabit, right? But that also was reflective of the greater outer world, right? Like that God was the God of the cosmos. And I think in Gene's own way here as a humanist, he's humbled himself to realize I am not, like you said about Hollywood folks, I live in Hollywood too, you know, we're not hot shit, you know, like we often think we are, but actually if we can recognize our place in the universe, then we can really be of service. And it seems like Gene recognized that his role was to be of service and to be a vessel. And again, that's just like the Christian mystics and the monks and the desert fathers.
Beautifully said, William.
You know, and this quote also shows us that Gene is doing the work that he so often talks about in many of the quotes that we've discussed already, the work of analyzing and thinking. You know, he's not just sitting, you know, not that there's necessarily anything wrong with this, but he's not like sitting on a mountaintop waiting for an epiphany to come to him,
to
waiting for a message to necessarily come from, you know, any sort of outside force, which is completely fine, but he's doing the work. He's talking about the fact that he is he's analyzing and thinking and probably changing and reforming his opinion of his place in the universe as he gets new information or as things work or do not work in his life.
But not blaming anyone in this quote, which I kind of love too, because I we were talking about this earlier. I don't know if you've noticed on Instagram, there's just a trend to kind of lean into our pain bodies, as Eckhart Tolle would say, you know, leaning into our trauma. And we all have trauma, right? But what I feel like when we lean into it as personality, as my story for the rest of my life, I get a little concerned because it leaves off the part where we analyze and we think and we figure out how to live and coexist with our pain body.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense. Does that make sense to you guys?
That's the spiritual journey, though. Like, is you can't spiritually bypass it, right? You can't just hop over the pain body, which I think sometimes that to me is bad religion, right? Any bad religious experience I've ever had is where people ignore the pain, you know, and try to like act like it doesn't exist. And I think you're right. I think there's been a pendulum shift into, okay, well, we're not going to ignore the pain anymore. So let's talk about it. Let's put it out there. But that isn't all there is, you know?
Yeah. Healing is a big part of things for me as a Black person in America, right? Otherwise, I'd really understand that quote by, is it Baldwin who says, to be a Negro in America is to be in rage?
In a constant state of rage,
Yeah, and that's an old quote, obviously. We'd say Black person today, but I'm doing it verbatim. But for anyone, not just Black people, right? Everyone could be enraged about different things. But if we put our pain body here and start analyzing how we can move forward.
That's the key, moving forward. How do we move forward with it, integrating it rather than ignoring it, dismissing it, you know, acting like it doesn't
exist. I'm very big on the integration of self via, you know, like Carl Jung. I wrote a Jungian psychology-based tarot book, and I don't know if that
is
tarot into the heart
it's fantastic.
Of
it's
Christians,
a great book.
Because my Black Christians have come down on me a little bit about it.
Oh, have they?
But William, the whole point is, as Gene, in this quote and everything talks about going into outer space and figuring all that. I'm saying, hey, man, let's check our inner space.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And then we'll be ready mentally for when the aliens land or whatever it is.
Now you got me interested. I want to like read about your Jungian tarot or like see them or
well,
something.
You know what? I appreciate that you're like, oh, that's interesting before you judge it. I love that because that means you're a Christian, actually. Like a real.
Thanks.
No, but I'm saying, I don't know if you still identify as Christian, but a real Christian says, let me check it out first, right? Before casting judgment.
A real Christian and also a real Star Trek fan. To me, these are where the similarities are.
Yeah.
Are curious. You have to be curious about the world rather than, you know, coming with a predisposed judgment label, right? Or of who this person is or what their spiritual practice is or how terrible it is, right? Like, and I grew up in that kind of religious space.
Were you
so
in a fear-based? Was it a fear-based religious?
Oh, very fear-based. Holiness or hell. My parents, when they got married, they had wedding watches because jewelry was considered a sin. So they gave each other, instead of rings, watches.
What was your religion, may I ask, growing up?
Just
Pentecostal?
Black Protestantism.
Oh.
Slightly Pentecostal, a little more liturgical.
Gotcha.
One of those religions. Anyone that's grown up religious, particularly in religious dogma, I like to use this picture metaphor to say that it's like, for a lot of us that grow up in this world, it's like we grew up underground in a bunker because we were told the world wasn't safe, you know, and we had to hide out and we had to pretend. And, you know, we were the only safe people or our crew, our clique, our church. And I feel like my whole life experiment has been like climbing up from the ground. I feel like Kimmy Schmidt, where I'm like, give me out. I know that. And I get to a bigger bunker and I'm like, is this freedom? No, this isn't freedom. Right. Just trying to get to that surface, you know, because unfortunately, again, that's what bad religion does. It doesn't open you up to the world and show you to be curious. Bad religion makes you afraid. But good religion actually makes you curious. And to me, again, good Star Trek makes you curious.
Trent, were you raised religious? Before we wrap this episode up, and we're lucky enough to have William Matthews for the whole week, but Trent, were you raised religiously, and how did that play into sexuality?
I was. I was raised in a Spanish-speaking evangelical church. My mother was born again and all of that. But I will say, of all of the experiences that I've heard about from other evangelical experiences, I never experienced any of that. I did not go to a church where people told me they hated me or spoke about hating anybody.
It's amazing.
It just was not.
They saved it for us Black people, William.
Especially in the white churches.
This is not to say that all Spanish speaking evangelical churches are like that, because I have, you know, become aware of them later in life. But I'm just so grateful for the fact that the church that I grew up in was very nurturing for me and was very welcoming for my inquisitiveness. When things did not make sense to me and I questioned them, I had Sunday school teachers who would not shut me down or not make me feel devalued.
It's amazing.
They would answer the questions as best they could and encourage me to find answers within myself. And ultimately, I just realized it was not the philosophy that that really resonates with me. But I'm grateful for the experiences that I had and the education in those Bible studies. So at least I have a point of reference and I understand. And I do agree with you, Rachel, and you, William, when you talk about the fact that what bad religion is, and it is, in my opinion, any teaching that preaches hatred or doesn't even want to hear, you know, the any arguments or discussions. It's just our way and that's it. And that to me is a bad anything.
Yes,
bad any anything. Bad dogma, bad religion, bad teaching, bad anything.
But per this quote, I'm happy that you had Sunday school teachers, right, who at mm-hmm. least answered and opened the questions, because
yep.
this quote right here is all kind of about, I'm in a period of thinking, growing and expanding
yes.
and trying to
yes.
analyze and see. And when we ask a question in earnest and it's answered in earnest, we can learn and grow. When we are smacked back and mm-hmm. told we are bad for even asking mm-hmm. the question. And that's something obviously that Mr. Roddenberry wouldn't co-sign either. He's like all about asking questions. Anyway, Trent, mm-hmm. we got to wrap this up.
One last thing, I just to put a last point on this discussion for me about religion is, as a young boy growing up realizing that I was gay, I never harbored in my mind that I was evil, because you know what I mean? Like, some churches do teach that, and you yeah. see it, like, you know, in general. And that was never something that resonated with me, because I wasn't taught that. So not that they were encouraging, you know, I didn't have that internalized, and I'm very, very grateful for that as well.
Now, that's amazing. I appreciate that they've changed the way they kind of mm-hmm. teach a little bit of religion. Not that I've been to church, but mm-hmm. I know when I yeah. was a little kid, it was like, you better fear it. You're fear. And I was like, I'm so scared. So
yeah.
that wasn't yeah. the way to reach me. It probably worked for another personality type who was like, I love me some God. But for me, anyway, all right, we're going to continue this discussion manana. Trent, where do the people go to see the video of Raphael Sparge?
Yeah, you could check out all the videos of our friends reading our quotes on our official social media accounts on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And as Rachel mentioned, we're very lucky to have William with us all week long. So we hope you'll join the three of us again tomorrow for another episode of Quoting Gene Roddenberry.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Quoting Gene Roddenberry.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on today's quote. So tweet us, post us, DM us, whatever.
We are at Roddenberry on Twitter and Facebook, and at Roddenberry Official on Instagram.
Quoting Gene Roddenberry is a Roddenberry podcast hosted by me, Rachel True.
And me, Trent Venegas. Producing are Claire Kramer and Kelsey Goldberg, with executive producers Trevor Roth and Rod Roddenberry.
Engineering and editing are provided by Elizabeth Joy Windham.
And special thanks to all those who were kind enough to read a quote and give a voice to Gene Roddenberry's everlasting words.
Live long and prosper.